All right, so to begin, I usually like to start with two disclaimers, one of which has to do with the fact that nearing the end or the middle of my talk, there's going to be a lot of trolls. And with trolls comes a kind of offensive shitstorm. So there's going to be a lot of bad language and racism. And usually when I give this talk to a law school audience, I'm, you know, make sure to give this disclaimer. I think with an ITP audience, it's probably not a big deal. I'm also going to be suggesting something controversial, which is maybe we should see trolls as tricksters. And if you don't know what a trickster is, that's okay, because I'll explain that later. Now, the second disclaimer has to do with the object and subject of my scholarship for the last 10 years, which has to do with computer hackers. Now, computer hackers in the wild, in the field, are very easy to identify. Those are two really good examples of computer hackers, right? Yet, when I write about them, it's actually much, much more difficult to define them. They may share a love of computing. There's a kind of general ethos for information freedom, for privacy, for access. But if you kind of really pay attention to both the history and the current manifestations of hacking, what you see are a lot of variations. And so I talk a lot about genealogies or variants of hacking. And if you're interested in that, I've written a little bit about it, and I'm publishing more. So for example, one variation that I'm quite interested in has to do with phone phreaking, which were people who would kind of break into the phone system that had then morphed into the hacker underground. And I think there's a relationship with trolling. Another variation has to do with free and open source software, whose roots lie in university community. Now, these genealogies aren't kind of separate worlds. They overlap, but the differences matter. However, as I address the kind of geek and hacker protests against Scientology, the nuance of distinctions that I'm so insistent with my work, I'm actually not going to pay attention to at all for the sake of simplicity, and also because I'm kind of struggling with how to characterize the kind of geeks and hackers who do protest Scientology, right? And so something I really want to emphasize is while there's been a tremendous consistency in geeks and protest and geeks and hackers protesting Scientology, many hackers and geeks could care less about Scientology and don't protest, right? So just keep that in mind. All right, so with those two disclaimers in place, let's begin. Today I'm going to start by displaying three artifacts. The first is an excerpt from a blog entry written by a hacker friend in the Bay Area who's describing the pleasures of programming. The title of the blog entry is called Python, Reaching a Transcendental Space. Python's a computer language. I remember when I found Python, I was an unemployed slacker living in a student co-op. I'd sit in a since-disappeared cafe in Berkeley and write reams of more or less useless code simply for the joy of it. I'd reach some sort of transcendental state fueled by relevant white space, clear syntax, and pints of awfully strong black coffee. In those days, I first felt the pure abstract joy of programming in a powerful way, the ability to conjure these giant structures, manipulate them at will, and have them contain and be contained by one another. And I bet programmers in this room can probably identify with that. Now, let's compare this with a very, very, very different vision of technology. The following is an edict about the role of technology in Scientology, published by a special branch of its operations, the RTC, the Religion Technology Center, founded in 1983, which is entrusted with dealing with their technology and, as a result, their intellectual property. Keeping Scientology working, KSW, we're going to see this later. Getting the correct technology applied consists of having the correct technology, knowing the technology, knowing it's correct, teaching correctly the correct technology, applying the technology, seeing that the technology is correctly applied, hammering out the existence of incorrect technology, knocking out incorrect applications. So I think you get the point by now. Now let's watch this video from the internet-bred phenomena Anonymous, who's been on a vigorous quest to expose the Church of Scientology as fraudulent and dangerous through a range of offline and online protests. All right, so let's see the video.
Hello, leaders of Scientology. We are Anonymous. Over the years, we have been watching you, your campaigns of misinformation, your suppression of dissent, your litigious nature, all of these things have caught our eye. With the leakage of your latest propaganda video into mainstream circulation, the extent of your malign influence over those who have come to trust you as leaders has been made clear to us. Anonymous has therefore decided that your organization should be destroyed, for the good of your followers, for the good of mankind and for our own enjoyment. We shall proceed to expel you from the internet and systematically dismantle the Church of Scientology in its present form. We recognize you as serious opponents, and do not expect our campaign to be completed in a short time frame. However, you will not prevail forever against the angry masses of the body politic. Your choice of methods, your hypocrisy and the general artlessness of your organization have sounded its death knell. You have nowhere to hide, because we are everywhere. You will find no recourse in attack, because for each of us that falls, 10 more will take his place. We are cognizant of the many who may decry our methods as parallel to those of the Church of Scientology. Those who espouse the obvious truth that your organization will use the actions of Anonymous as an example of the persecution of which you have for so long warned your followers. This is acceptable to Anonymous. In fact, it is encouraged. We are your SPs. Over time, as we begin to merge our pulse with that of your church, the suppression of your followers will become increasingly difficult to maintain. Believers will become aware that salvation needn't come at the expense of their livelihood. They will become aware that the stress and the frustration that they feel is not due to us, but a source much closer to them. Yes, we are SPs, but the sum of suppression we could ever muster is eclipsed by that of your own RTC. Knowledge is free. We are Anonymous. We are Legion. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Expect us.
One of the things I want you guys to remember, they mentioned that they do this for their own enjoyment. Some of my students do write this well. They're in my class. I mean, in here. And they mention RTC, SPs, things that we're going to see again, okay? So let me just get back into my slides. That's the last time I'm going to have to get out of them. So contained within these three artifacts lies the initial, though incomplete, answer to the following question, which forms the basis of my talk. Why have internet enthusiasts, many of them geeks and hackers, been drawn to denounce Scientology so vehemently and for over two decades? It should strike us as a little bit odd and thus in need of some explanation that one of the oldest and recurring battles on the internet, a place where conventional wisdom says the only constant is change, has been waged between these two groups. To start answering this question, it's important to note that there's very specific historical reasons that have brought Scientology and geeks into battle with each other, and I'm going to go into these in some detail. But my cultural proposition, my basic thesis as an anthropologist, is the following. Scientology is a perfect nemesis, for it represents a near complete inversion of the values and commitments of internet geeks and enthusiasts. In other words, if there was such a thing as a cultural inversion machine and you stuck Scientology in there, you'd get something that looks a lot like hacker and geek culture, which is why I opened the talk with two contrasting visions, one might even say antipodal visions of technology. So before I get to Anonymous and before I flesh out as well as complicate my theory of antipodal cultural relations, I'm going to provide a brief history of the initial battles waged in the 1990s between Scientology and its critics. And to do so, I'm going to tell you how I fell into this topic, because it tells us something very important about the role of contingency in all of this. So most of my research concerns how and why free software developers and hackers reformulate liberal principles such as free speech through their techno-legal practices. And I do so in light of the pleasures of hacking, the forms of bliss and joy that often deviate and run against the grain of liberal commitments. So when I was conducting field work, mostly in San Francisco, Scientology was raised with remarkable frequency. Most of these references came in the form of a snide joke. Other times, they were more substantial. For example, some people said, oh yeah, I was on the Usenet group where we criticized Scientology. Another person told me that they released secret church documents. It came up most dramatically when I spent some time among a loose collective of hackers in the Netherlands, the hippies from hell, only to discover that one of its members was engaged in a serious multi-year legal battle after Scientology had sued her. She eventually won. And they sued her because she had posted church documents on the internet, documents that already existed. So anyone involved in the ethnographic enterprise knows that you're exposed to a whole lot of information and data that you don't know what to do with it. Sometimes it's because it's completely irrelevant to your topic, and other times, and this was the case with Scientology, just sheer incomprehension. So I completely filed away this information, only to access it again when I ended up a few years later, somewhat randomly, in the very, 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 very north of Canada at the University of Alberta, where there happens to be the largest Scientology archives in the world.